If a man hated for this long, would there soon be nothing left of him? Mayhap that was why the instinct had left him, because he was halfway to the grave already. And did they feed? Monroe seemed to be bracing for the worst.
They dinna.
But it had been so damned close.
They would have, if not for the Valkyrie Regan the Radiant and her cellmate.
With their help, he'd been able to behead all 5 succubi. He often replayed that memory, the seed feeders' screams, their surprise.
Regan is the Blademan's woman, and she helped save you from a hellish fate, Monroe said. Is that why you have not targeted her male?
The man had overseen security on the island and had bludgeoned Will for an escape attempt. Thought to be human, the Blademan was actually a berserker.
That's one reason.
Another? Nix had told him that their future lines would entwine.
Not if I'm dead, Nix.
Monroe snapped his fingers for the whiskey.
Give over.
Will cradled his bottle in the crook of his elbow, handing Monroe his own.
Are we done now? Can we never speak of this again?
Monroe raised his brows, the slash on his forehead making him wince.
We have to do something.
Will took another long draw.
I canna target Chase. I canna find Webb. Canna target Nix. There's nothing to be done.
Never had his future seemed so hopeless, not even when he'd inadvertently killed both of his parents and his unborn sister. At least then, he'd naively thought that time healed all wounds, that one day his pain would lessen.
What a crock of bullshite.
Time multiplied all wounds.
And if I see one more pitying look, I'll give you a proper hiding, I swear to gods!
I know about the plane ticket,
Monroe said simply. But so much was going on behind those eyes. Will's time in that prison had made him realize how ridiculous it was to keep struggling, to keep living as if he had reason to. 900-plus years was plenty, and only an idiot would continue constructing a building on such a bollocksed foundation.
Wanted a change of pace. Dunna lie to me. You think I dunna know what you're contemplating? You interrogated Bowen about the pit of the Fire Dragon.
Last year, their cousin Bowen had been trapped in that lair before escaping. When Will had heard of the place, he'd perked the hell up. It was all well and good to be suicidal, but an immortal had practicalities to deal with. Namely, unless you could cut off your own head, you couldn't kill yourself.
As my father knew.
So Will had planned to take a dip in the pit.
And then, Monroe continued, you bought a one-way ticket to a place named Where Immortals Go to Die.
The whiskey was loosening Will's tongue, coaxing him to admit the truth.
When I was young, I got twisted. Now I'm not right. There it is. There's nothing to be done for it.
He shrugged.
If there were, it would have happened by now.
Monroe's eyes were widening as if he was chilled by Will's casual demeanor.
"Gods, man, I've had so many centuries," Will said. "I've lived long enough."
Nix had been right about one thing. The bone hadn't set right.
"Now pulverized, never to knit. The prison was just a hint, brother. Did you never consider how I'd feel? To lose the last of my family? Oh, aye.
He'd debated it, deciding Monroe would be better off. Since he was revealing all, Will might as well round out the tale.
My instinct was quiet before the prison. Now it's gone.
Monroe's jaw slackened, as if he could scarcely imagine this loss. The instinct was part of what made a Lyke who he was. Will drank deep, then said,
"Hell, that means I'm halfway dead already. I've no instinct and little control of my beast. I'm a liability. I will not be a burden to this pack."
"To you,"
Will thought. Monroe had said he didn't pity Will.
"But I pity him."
In one fell swoop, Monroe had lost two incredible parents and a baby sister, and gained a burden for life. Will had been waiting centuries for Monroe to wake the hell up and realize he hated his brother.
"The only reason I'm not dead already is because I craved retribution first."
"We'll find your mate. She can heal you. We'll call Nyx and ask her to search—"
"Do not say that Valkyrie's name to me again!"
Monroe raised his brows.
"Yet another secret?"
Ronan and Ben burst into the lodge then, gazing at all the destruction, the blood. Ronan looked impressed, but Ben's eyes began to flicker blue, his beast stirring from just the evidence of violence.
"Hair trigger. I've been there. I am there."
"Easy, Ben," Monroe said. "Get control of it."
Ben inhaled deeply, clenching and unclenching his fists. Once Ben's eyes finally cleared, Ronan waved a computer printout.
"We've got a present for you, Headcase."
Will glowered at him.
"I want nothing you have,"
he said, still unsure how the two had ended up here. What was the clan thinking, foisting lads on the twins? Aye, their orphan situation was similar to Will and Monroe's, and their lines were closely related, with only about 40 or so generations between them. But for fuck's sake, if boys needed to learn how to control their beasts, you didn't send them to crazy Uncle Will's. He suspected Fixer Monroe had lobbied to take them in.
"The clan just got a message at the den," Ronan said. "A lore-wide alert. There's to be an auction at the Demon Crossroads at midnight, hosted by the House of Witches."
Witches. Devious creatures. Ronan read from the paper.
"Members of the Praevis Rule and the Virtas League are both welcome to bid on this capture. A female who will have tactical value against a common enemy."
Wide-eyed, Will exclaimed,
"Someone was captured? No shite. Wonder what that's like."
Monroe asked,
"Who's the female?"
Ronan raised his brows.
"The highest wire transfer will win that which all the lore covets."
"Chilling by the fire while we eatin' fondue," crooned Justin Bieber. "I don't know about me, but I know about you."
About an hour ago, Chloe had awakened on the floor of an RV to the tunes of JB, with a strip of cloth gagging her mouth and shackles around her wrists and ankles. The RV was strewn with Mardi Gras beads, and the air outside smelled of marsh and jasmine. She was definitely no longer in Seattle, because her front doorstep had been replaced with a trapdoor to hell. Three teenage girls were inside the RV with her, listening to the music, doing their makeup, stepping over Chloe with little regard. For the most part, they looked human. One was a scandy-looking blonde, one a pale brunette, one a willowy Asian. All pretty, like postmodern Charlie's Angels. But Chloe sensed something was off about this trio. There was an eerie grace to their movements, and their eyes seemed to flicker under different lights. Once she'd roused, two realizations had struck Chloe. Detris were totally real, and she was about to suffer at their hands. She'd started struggling against her bonds, trying to squeeze her contorted hand through one manacle. Earlier, the three had cracked open wine coolers to celebrate their catch.
"We are the Tanda of 2013!
The brunette said.
"Tanda?"
"This is our year,"
the Asian beauty said.
"Our auction will be talked about for eternity."
Was Chloe about to be auctioned?
Long live the House of Witches!
They all clinked bottles. Witches.
Going to vomit.
The Book of Lore said that Wicca were mystical mercenaries, obsessed with amassing wealth. They sold their spells and tonics, and apparently they weren't above human trafficking. But then, Chloe wasn't quite human, was she?
Rub some dirt on it. Rub some dirt on it.
She realized that her optimism had gotten benched tonight, and might never return to the game. She could only conclude that the Order was real. Her dad's mission was real, and he'd made some immortal enemies carrying it out. Having met some of these detritus, Chloe wished Dad all the success in the world with his extermination endeavor. Except she was one. That house of cards had come tumbling down.
Time to face facts, Chloe.
If detritus existed, then she was transforming into one of them. Because her mom had been one. Chloe's eyes widened. Her mother could never have passed away from cancer. That had been just a cover story. So how had she died?
I need answers.
Filled with impotent frustration, she yelled against her gag.
Hey! Alpha is out! Egg is egg off!
The witches ignored her, turning up the stereo. She cringed when yet another Bieber song pumped away. Great. She'd been captured by fucking Beliebers. They planned to sell her at auction? When Beauty and a Beat played for the fifth time, Chloe decided she was ready for the block. With a huff, she renewed her struggles. If she could get free, she could yank up that removable table, the one with all the old wads of teenage witch gum stuck to the underside, and use it as a weapon. The RV door opened, revealing a young black-haired female with luminous brown eyes. Definitely not human. No one's hair could possibly be that glossy without Photoshop. She had a clipboard in hand, a walkie-talkie attached to her belt, and a backpack slung over her shoulders. The others greeted her with a chorus of, "Beely!" At the sight of the wine coolers, this Beely's shoulders stiffened, and a weird electricity began to fill the air. Drinking on the job? The RV briefly shook as the other girls scrambled to dump their drinks. Alpha bitch alert. If this was a team, Chloe had just met the playmaker. Beely's walkie-talkie hissed.
B, you said there might be a few hundred people here tonight, another girl's voice said.
An audible swallow sounded over the line.
We've got about 5,000, and they're still filing in. What are we going to do?
5,000.
Hello? Then start charging for admission, Beely snapped. You're acting like this is your first rodeo. It is. If Mari and Caro find out, they'll bring the heat, she added in a mom and dad'll bust the party tone. Maybe I shouldn't have added that last part to the auction announcement.
What last part? Beely asked.
That they had to forward the message to 10 other people or something bad would happen to them?
Chloe rolled her eyes.
You have got to be kidding me.
Beely pursed her lips.
Mari and Caro are deep in the bush, off plane for all we know. They'll find out after we've staged this coup. Beely out!
The walkie-talkie continued transmitting.
Two girls spoke. Beely scares me. All the transfer students from Blokula do. What do you think that coven must be like?
Blokula? Chloe had never read about that. Beely radioed,
Your transmitter's still on, idiot.
After gazing up at the ceiling for patience, she turned to Chloe, telling no one in particular,
The package isn't displayed as well as it could be.
I'm the package? Kill her. From her backpack, the witch produced a white, nearly transparent nightgown. Chloe preferred to wear loose jerseys, looser shorts. Now she was supposed to wear a see-through gown?
Beely appraised her with a critical eye. Pretty face. Chloe wanted to spit in hers. Shame to cover it up, but... From her pack, Beely also drew out a black silk bag. We need to remind everyone why we're here, daughter of Webb.
That's not my name.
It is your name. You just didn't know it. Your father, Dustin Todd, is also known as Preston Webb, the commander of the Order. You're the daughter of the most hated man in all the lore.
7.
I never scented him, Will muttered with a chin jerk toward a centaur in the distance, past row after row of parked cars at the demon crossroads. Centaurs aligned with the Praevis, the evil side of the lore.
Probably because I dialed down your nose, Monroe said.
His mood improved. Tonight, they'd received a lead on Webb, a daughter of his, for sale, which meant there was possibility, after weeks of nothing. Monroe had a bloody spring in his step. The centaur in question had a nymph pressed up against the side of a sports car and was rutting her with 0 to 60 thrusts. The ride was a Mustang. Fitting.
We're not to fight them, Monroe said. From the sound of it, there's an honest-to-God's truce going on tonight.
Not far in the distance, they heard scores of immortals peaceably milling. As they strode by the couple, Monroe muttered in Gaelic,
Did one or both of us do that, nymph?
Odds are, Will said casually, though he made a point of remembering, so that he never bedded the same one twice. Twice was too close to 3 times, and to this day he had a phobia about that. Monroe's question was answered when the nymph waved happily at the brothers. The centaur shot them killing looks and thrust more aggressively. Between his angry shoves, she gasped,
Hi, guys. See you, later.
Sure thing, sweet, Monroe said.
Nymphs were easy and pleasant bedsport, seeking nothing but mutual pleasure, unlike seed-feeding succubi. Monroe told Will,
Perhaps a comely nymph is just what you need to get back in the saddle. I know it's been weeks for you.
Try months.
You could burn off some aggression.
Monroe also knew all about Will's many sexual hang-ups and peculiarities. Though Will had long since recognized his relationship with Ruel for what it was, a violation of a young mind and body, a nightmare, the scars remained.
I've no time for that. Come on. We're late.
Will had taken scant seconds to change, plucking clothes from his floor, an array of garments that appeared less worn or dirty than others.
It's nearly midnight.
Monroe had driven his brand-new Range Rover Turbo here, topping the thing out on old Louisiana county roads.
Does not matter if we're late, he said. I doubt we can win this auction. I could only drum up a $1 million wire on such short notice, and the lowest number on the witch's bidding app, I shite you not, was 1 mil. What good is it to be rich if we cannot scrape up the scratch to buy a political prisoner on a whim?
Past a line of pecan trees lay a wide-open field packed with Lorians. Understandable. Webb had upended countless lives, and this capture was the first lead on him since the prison break. As Will and Monroe strode into the crowd, they saw all manner of immortal species, even a few gypsy and berserker humans who lived on the fringe of the lore. Most immortals here belonged to one of the two major alliances, Praevis and Virtus. Amazingly, the temporary truce between them was holding, but then they had a common enemy, the Order. The brothers passed a group of young Virtus shifters, Fox, Wolverine, and Cheetah, that Will recognized from the island. While the Praevis shifters were predominantly reptilian, the Virtus were most often mammalian. One of these pups called out,
Mr. McGrave!
and they all turned and gazed at Will as if he were some goddamn hero. He scowled at them and turned away. He might have organized them and saved their lives, as Nix had predicted, but only to save his own arse. He'd fought to live solely for revenge. Aside from the alliances, there were the neutral factions like the Nymphs, who were likely only present to scope out new bedmates, from both sides. A gaggle of them cooed, "Hot and hotter," to Will and Monroe, trying to get their attention. Will muttered, "I really fucking hate that." He crossed his arms over his chest, found a new hole in his shirt. Monroe nodded.
"Hate it, beyond the telling of it. But you do know I'm hotter, right? Not even on your best day, Brahir."
They spotted a few more Virtus allies. The Fae, Furies, Valkyries, and behorned members from some of the solid demonarchies. There were at least as many Praevis members, soldiers from dark demonarchies, sorcerai, nearly 24 centaurs, and countless Kyrenos, giant snake-like humanoids that were as fast as lightning and just as deadly. Crocodili and viper shifters abounded. Will followed Monroe surveying the sea of Lorians for succubi. What if they were here tonight? Seed feeders were Praevis as well.
"Then I'll be jeopardizing this truce directly."
Because nothing would stop him from killing any he came across, just as he'd done for all his life. To date, he'd ended 24. When a witch passed close by him, his hackles rose. There were several scurrying around with headsets as if they were on a trading floor.
"Phone bidders?"
Will glowered in one's direction. If his instinct were intact, it had worn,
"Guard yourself."
Their cousin Beau might have married Maraketta the Awaited, the leader of the grand mercenary House of Witches. Didn't mean the rest of the clan had overcome the instinct's constant cautions against Wicca. Will spotted Malcolm Slane, a Veman they knew, walking in the direction of the stage. The vampire demon had been in the same prison as Will. They greeted Malcolm, falling in step beside him. Monroe said,
"Demon, you're not often seen without Caro."
Another local witch, also a former capture. Though Malcolm had been born a demon in some far-off archaic demonarchy, he'd been turned part vampire into a rare Veman, a creature even stronger than a Lyke, but he still identified as a demon, hating leeches.
"Like most of us."
Just last year, Will and Monroe had been ordered to storm a vampire stronghold to search for King Lachlan's mate, not to spy, not to monitor, but to bloody engage. Just before they'd reached the perimeter, when Will had been shaking with anticipation, already imagining the havoc he'd wreak, they'd been called off. How different things might have been for Will, how much improved, if only a goddamned war had broken out. In thickly accented English, Malcolm said,
"Caro, Maraketta, and some Valkyries are out collecting order orphans, the offspring of immortals who died on the island."
Will understood why Malcolm hadn't been invited. He was an intimidating male, taller even than Will's towering height, with lethal-looking horns. He would scare the hell out of the tots.
"So, if Caro and Maraketta are not here, who's running this show?" "Some teen witches. They think Caro and Mari don't know. I'm supposed to watch out for them and make sure they don't get killed by the Praevis."
"The witches are Virtus," Monroe pointed out. "Why not keep the praise for our side?"
"Mayhap, because they're all bent for the dollar, each and every one of them,"
Will thought.
"Eerie bloody witches."
Malcolm just shrugged.
"So, what do you know about this prisoner?" Monroe asked. "How'd she get caught?"
"The witches cast some kind of surveillance and capture spell."
"Is the daughter with the Order?" Will asked.
"We don't believe so," Malcolm said. "From what we know, Webb disappeared after the prison escape. His daughter had no idea where he was, had been searching for him. My guess is that Webb kept the older part of his life secret. It makes sense. I'll not tell my daughter many of the things I've done. Wait. Will frowned. If she was searching for Webb, then she does not have his location. What's her tactical value if she knows nothing about the lore and does not have a 20 on her dear old sire? Bait, Malcolm said. Surely she'll lure Webb in. Will imagined possessing the female, using her to trap that bastard. God's the satisfaction. The Virtus won't win her, though, Malcolm continued. While the Praevis have pooled their money and mystical goods, most of our factions are going to bid against each other. We're supposed to be allied with the Fae? Their king is phone-bidding through that juvenile witch right there. Millions in Drake gold. The witch beside her is bidding for Nereus, the sea god. All we're going to do is drive up the price. Will turned to Monroe. Then she truly cannot be won by us? Monroe shook his head. Look, we'll stalk whoever gets her. We'll lie in wait for Webb. This is not over. Why couldn't Will get one break? All he wanted was one bloody, viscera-coated moment of revenge. Then he'd find peace in death. Filled with frustration, he pinched his nose, none too gently manipulating the bone back in place. Ah, that was better. He inhaled deeply, suddenly bombarded by new scents, tens of thousands of them. One stood out. Something so sublime he was thunderstruck, nearly put to his knees. Disbelieving what he'd smelled, Will tentatively raised his head for another hit of that beautiful thread. For the first time in months, he heard his instinct. And gods, it rang loud and clear. Yours. He swallowed, had to clear his throat before he could mutter, It's happened. Excuse us, Malcolm, Monroe said as he dragged Will away. My instinct, it said, Will could barely form words. I scented her too, Monroe said, excitement filling his expression. Excitement? A blind rage suffused Will. Before he could swing, Monroe snapped, Well, your instinct is clamoring about her being yours. Mine is saying sister. Oh. Will gazed around, desperate to see her, to know what kind of creature could possibly smell that luscious. He'd been wary of finding her before, but now... Is it like Da said? Monroe asked. Will briefly closed his eyes, inhaling deeply. The hands of gods, he breathed. Aye. Then let's find her. Sudden doubt hammered at Will, and he hesitated. Monroe said, Look, I ken you're in pain, but you've waited ages for your mate. You'll never get another one. Will shook his head. I'm fit for no one. She can help you heal if you just let her. Besides, you've taken her scent into you. There's no letting her go now. Not without trying first. I can still walk away, he said, even as her scent beckoned. Are you not about to die of curiosity, man? I bloody am, and she's not even mine. No, do not get too excited. Will tried to tamp it down. What if I'm not ready for this? Good and fucked up. I cannot tell what she is, but I sense she's not like a...
There was a 50-50 chance she was Praevis. With Will's luck, they could just go ahead and round that up to absolute certainty.
Will, do you not understand? It's happened for you. After 900 years. What I wouldn't give!
Monroe grabbed his shoulders.
It's happened!
A shocked look between them.
Brother, give the lass a chance.
With grim intent, Will started toward the source of the scent, Monroe following. Wherever she was, she remained stationary.
Lesser beings took one look at Will's face, a Lyke in his prime, hell-bent on something, and cowered from him. Before, he'd been ambivalent about his mate. Now he had to experience her scent for just a touch longer. He had to see her face. Would she be tall or petite? Would her locks be long or cropped? Her personality light-hearted or serious? And since she wasn't a Lyke, would she even want him in return? Mayhap his cursed looks would finally come in handy. He scrubbed a hand down his face, surprised to find thick stubble and bruised skin.
I might have shaved today, huh?
Might have. Monroe yanked his clean, nice shirt over his head, motioning for Will to trade his faded, ratty one. Without missing a step, they swapped shirts. Nymphs squealed at the bare-chested brothers striding past them. Once they'd changed, Monroe gestured to indicate all of Will.
It is what it is.
Nix made that same gesture the night she'd betrayed him. As Will took unfaltering steps toward his mate, realization hit him. This was all according to plan. If he hadn't been on the island, he never would have come to this auction tonight. Nix had set this in motion.
To what end, soothsayer? We'll find her, Monroe assured him as they pushed through crowds of immortals. And then what? Then nature takes over.
The throng around them began booing at the stage. Catcalls and jeers followed. They must have led Daughter of Web out. The sound of someone blowing into a hot mic pinged Will's sensitive ears, dredging up memories of torture. What didn't remind him of the island?
Shake it off.
Welcome to the House of Witches Auction Night, a female announcer said into the mic. My name is Beely, and I'll be hosting this eve. Up for grabs is Chloe Todd, the verified Daughter of Web. Age of 24, excellent health. Tonight's her first time ever to see immortals, so let's give her a big welcome to the lore.
The crowd booed louder. Though Will was curious to see the spawn of his enemy, he was enthralled by his new mate's scent. To go to sleep awash in it? To wake to it? Resisting the call felt impossible.
The bidding will begin at $1 million or equivalent,
as Monroe had predicted.
Who would like to open?
$1 million in Drake gold pieces from the King of Drakesulia.
1.5 from the Accord of the Valkyries and the Furii, plus the Breezing Almond Chain.
More bids came in, and still the brothers hadn't reached her. A line of centaurs blocked their way. Just as Will bared his teeth, about to plow through them, Monroe yanked him around.
Keep your head.
Will's instinct was now screaming,
yours.
In the background, the auction continued at a furious pace.
The last of the Benamin Godslayers bid a Dumor, a god-killer.
The Pravis Rule bids $2 million, as well as a barely used bride-finder talisman.
Rodrigo Gamboa bids 2 tankers full of Colombian marching dust.
Will dimly wondered if that last one was a joke. The bidding reached 8 digits, yet he and Monroe still hadn't found her. They followed her scent toward the front, now shoving creatures out of their way. Will drew deep of her once more and nearly stumbled.
Monroe, did you catch that scent? She's human,
Monroe finished, the word like a death knell.
If I cannot control my beast,
bucket list Will.
It'd be best for her not to know me. Let her go,
he thought.
I would kill a mortal. We'll figure it out. Will, I'll help you through this, I vow it. But for now, we just need to find her.
They were closing in on the stage when a last flurry of bids came through. Soon, everyone would leave, and then how would he find her? Will scrubbed his hand over his face, casting a confused glance at Monroe.
Where the hell is she?
Then he turned, frowning at the small female coming into view. The one on the stage. The one strung up against a pole with a black bag over her head. She wore a filmy gown over a pink bra and black panties. She was petite, with tanned skin and the most incredible legs he'd ever seen on a female. Her heart was racing. Daughter of Webb. They both drew up short. The sublime scent was coming from her. This couldn't be possible. After waiting lifetimes for her, he'd found his mate in the offspring of a male so vile, Will couldn't say his name without rage bubbling up inside him.
"That fiend's daughter is my eternal mate?"
Monroe uttered his thoughts, words that Will knew he regretted the second they'd left his tongue.
"This is so fucked."
Will couldn't even process all that he was feeling. Disgust was there, along with the deepest welling of disappointment he'd ever experienced.
"Why did they black bag her?"
Monroe bit out in Gaelic, sounding outraged.
"Because that's what was done to the Order's prisoners. To me!"
When the breeze blew her white frock up above her knees, Will noted more of her shapely thighs, his predator's gaze locking on them. He reacted, hating himself.
"Well, it does not matter who she is. You have nothing to lose with her. I'll put it simply, she cannot be worse than a pit of mystical flames, and that's your only other option on the table."
The witch announced,
"The bidding is concluded. Congratulations, Pravis Rule. You have purchased Daughter of Webb. Thank you to everyone for attending this House of Witches team production, and be on the lookout this week for our service questionnaire. Pravis, please claim your prize."
At that, the mortal's heart sped up even more. She screamed, but she sounded gagged under that bag. He thought she'd yelled,
"Let me go, you sick pricks!"
And then she started struggling. Hard. Her wrists were bound, looped over a spike above her head. She thrashed to free herself.
"I should leave her arse to the Pravis."
Even as Will said this, his body readied to fight for her. His instinct was clamoring for him to save her, to cherish her. His beast prowled inside him, frantic to protect her. Will's claws lengthened along with his fangs, his muscles increasing in size.
"Yours."
Two centaurs leapt atop the stage. One said,
"I'm Lord Valis of the Centurions, and I claim her for the Pravis."
Claim her? The fuck that would be happening? A Kirino slithered up to the pole.
"I understood that we would have her first."
"Then you misunderstood."
Valis unhooked her bound wrists from the spike. Immediately she flailed against him, kicking at the centaur. Blood began dripping from beneath her wrist shackles.
"Protect."
When Will gazed up at her little mortal form, fighting so bravely, even in the face of her fear, he found himself a bit awed.
"Well, your female is a terrified girl not 20 feet from you. Her name is Chloe. Gods, man, she's so bloody young." "Chloe. Right now, brother, she's losing a fight that is yours to win for her."
Not for long. Will's beast was uncontrollable on the best of days. Now, for the first time in Will's existence, he had a mate to protect. It would rise up like horror embodied against anyone or anything that kept him from his female. Monroe clamped his shoulder.
"Assume you're going to steal her from the Pravis first and ask questions later?"
He couldn't answer, already turning. When his beast clawed at its cage, Will was happy to let it free. 8. When Chloe had heard the word purchased, something in her snapped. This Valis guy gripped her around her waist, lifting her off her feet, tucking her against his bare chest. Still, she fought and kicked.
Don't you hurt me!
She screamed into her gag, thrashing against him with all her might.
Let me go!
Screaming, thrashing. Her foot struck what felt like the barrel chest of a horse. Her mind denied this. The man who had her was simply riding a horse. Like a cowboy. A shirtless cowboy, of course. Even over her frenzied fight, she heard people close to the stage gasp. Murmurs arose. Cries. She could see nothing. Then came the unholy roar of some beast. A familiar roar. She'd heard one like it the night of the championships. Just as before, chills raced through her. Silence fell over the crowd. After an extended moment, what sounded like chaos erupted.
Run! The Lyca's turning!
Oh, gods, don't get between them! She's McCreeve's mate!
Mate? Lyca? What had she read about them? Each had a beast housed inside, and each one sought its fated mate above all things. And she was this one's female? Hysterical laughter threatened until she heard a low, feral growl. The ground shook as people fled. What the hell was happening? Valies snapped to some unseen person,
"Mind yourself, wolf!"
But he was backing away, with Chloe clamped tightly against his body. Hooves stamped the stage.
"I'll snap this mortal's neck!"
Valies continued his steady retreat.
"Another step closer, and she's dead!"
In a beastly, grating voice, the Lyca answered,
"Mine."
That one word had Valies yanking her into his side and leaping off the back of the stage to hit the ground running, as if for his life. He yelled,
"Cover me from the wolf!"
At that, she heard the clomping of hooves, a herd of them. As what sounded like a brutal fight broke out, a man yelled back,
"Kirinos attacking from the south!"
Were these beings now going to battle over her? The Lyca howled, as if fighting his way closer. Valies abruptly turned in another direction, flinging her with him. She thrashed to get the bag off her head, but it was tied on.
"Can't see! Can't see!"
Some being was just beside them. She heard its breaths. Then came a hissing sound, a gurgle, and suddenly she and Valies were falling, falling. With another gurgle, Valies heaved her upward, pitching her body into the air like a chipped pass. Someone caught her in midair, wrapping a palm around her right arm and dragging her against his upper body. Another one of the cowboys? Damn it. There was no denying it. A centaur had her. He held her as if she weighed nothing, yelling to the others,
"The wolf comes for her! Kill him!"
Coming for her.
Because I'm its mate.
Oh, man, that couldn't be good. She wanted this centaur to get her far away from that wolf. She screamed against her gag,
"Move your ass! Hi!"
"Silence!"
Centaur gave her a shake, dislocating her shoulder with a pop. Pain flared, and she couldn't bite back a scream. The wolf gave an enraged howl from some distance behind them. She whimpered,
"He's gaining."
Every gallop made fresh pain shoot through her arm and shoulder. When some creature hissed beside them, Centaur yelled,
"No!"
No? No what? She heard a solid thud. Felt a teeth-jarring impact, heard bones snap. Centaur was flung onto his side. As that wolf roared in fury, still nearing, she and Centaur crashed to the ground. His hold loosened. He fumbled for her, but she'd already gone careening along his horse body over its flank. She bounced over something metallic and sharp, a sword, and pain sliced into her. She hit the ground with a thud, the air wrenched from her lungs. Her side was slashed, pouring blood. She'd just sucked in her first hectic gasp when she got scooped up like a goalie save by some being that undulated over the ground. Her mind fought recognition with this new captor, even as chills broke out over her skin. Some subconscious awareness within her screamed, "Snake!" With a wet hiss to the sky, the creature increased its unfathomable speed. It sounded like others of its kind were flanking them. They were flying across the ground so fast that bugs pelted Chloe's black bag like a windshield. Then the being began zigzagging around trees, limbs swatting her legs. Surely nothing could catch this creature, not even a wolf. As soon as the thought arose, she heard something crashing through the woods nearby, matching even this thing's fantastical speed.
"They have my mate!"
Will's thoughts were murky, his beast in control, instinct ruling him. The need to protect her. He'd never felt a more primal drive. In the distance, he heard a war zone, his brother wolf roaring, fighting to reach him. Closer, he heard his female. His heart seemed to stop each time she screamed. How much could she withstand? Her scent was just as loud to him. Her fear. Her blood. He'd left dead, twitching centaurs in his wake, could still taste their throats, could feel their flesh embedded under his claws. Now, Kirinos. So many of them, their scaly bodies whipping around trees. When the terrain became an open field, he gained, but another forest loomed. He heard her cries, her frantic heartbeat. Beating, beating, beating. Cypress, broken leaves. Somehow he ran faster, lungs heaving. He was upon them.
"Kill them all!"
Slashing claws, snapping jaws, warm blood rained down. One remained, her captor. To take it down without harming her? He sank his claws into its tail, snatching it up short. The momentum sent the girl flying. Will hurtled into the air.
"Got her!"
He cradled her protectively, his arms closing around his trembling mate for the first time. The last Kirino coiled to strike. Will roared, baring his bloody fangs.
"Try to take her from me!"
Taking his measure with slitted eyes, it hesitated. Will licked his fangs. With a hiss, the snake wisely began to slither a retreat. Will threw back his head and howled with triumph. Now to put the beast back in its cage. 9. Field position? Chloe's life had never been so offsides before. She still couldn't see and doubted she would believe her eyes anyway. She was severely injured, with a mythological creature holding her secure in his brawny arms. Though explosions were blasting in the distance, shaking the ground, in the immediate area all she heard was this male's deep breaths. Inhale. Exhale. Even under her bag, she could detect his scent. Evergreen, copper, and male. His arms were unyielding around her, but still gentle. She thought they'd finally stopped running. He howled once more like an animal, paining her ears. When an answering howl sounded, this being seemed to relax a measure.
"Eh,"
Chloe weakly murmured against her gag.
"Ache is off."
Instead of taking the bag off, he reached under it for her gag. It felt too private, like he was reaching under her shirt. He pulled only the gag free. She licked her dry lips, then worked her jaw back and forth. She had no reserves of strength left, was freezing cold, shaking from blood loss. And his body felt so hot against her. Still,
I need you to release me. Just give me a second.
Canna do that.
His voice was deep, beastly, and accented. He sounded like a Scot. According to the book, the Highlands were Lyca territory.
Are you gonna hurt me?
Silence. He was hesitating to answer.
You kill immortals like your sire? Or did the witch speak truths?
I've never seen immortals before tonight. Didn't think they existed.
If not one among the Order, then what are you?
Center forward.
Duna Fola.
I play soccer. That's all I do. I don't know how I got mixed up in all this. I chase a ball for a living.
Chase a ball?
That must have been the exact right thing to tell a werewolf, because he released a gust of breath.
I will not hurt you. I'll see you well.
Had she lucked into the one creature who wouldn't harm her? Of course, the crowd of Detris had screamed at the sight of this one, had scattered because Chloe was his mate. He'd frightened even other monsters, and she was utterly under this one's power. Though Chloe was first and foremost a fighter, she wasn't above making allies. Her foggy brain tried to recall more from the book's Lyca entry. The bond between mates was the ultimate for them, revered by them as others did gods. Each Lyca only ever had one, so it followed that they would fight anything that tried to separate them.
Such as auctioneers and other bidders? Am I really your mate?
Another hesitation.
Aye.
She relaxed slightly. She didn't see how that was possible, but as long as he believed it, he wouldn't hurt her.
Thank you for saving me back there.
He stiffened against her.
Dinna have a choice.
He might think she was his, but that didn't mean he was happy about it. He must hate her because she was human. Because she was daughter of Webb. Dustin Todd was Commander Preston Webb. Not just a member of the Order, but a leader. She exhaled with confusion, the movement making her wound sing. Her dizziness increased, probably because she was light a few pints of blood.
Freeing you.
He slashed through the chains binding her wrists. She swallowed.
Slashed that metal with what?
Duna, fight me.
With effort, she raised one hand to the bag to draw it away, but he stayed her arm.
Not yet.
Why not?
Rain began to mist over them.
You've had enough frights for the night.
Exactly how hideous was he? He started feeling her head through the silk bag. Checking for injuries? Finding none on her head, he gently swept his hands over her ankles, her calves, even up her thighs. She tensed, but was too weak to resist him. He hissed out a curse when he got to her left shoulder. Dislocated. He wrapped his hand around her upper arm. Then, seeming to think better of it, he adjusted his grip to what felt like his thumb and forefinger. With just two fingers and the tiniest movement, he jerked down. She gritted her teeth as her shoulder popped back into place. When the sharp pain receded to a dull ache, she exhaled in relief, her eyelids growing heavy.
Thank you.
Was that her slurred voice? How much blood had she lost? Why couldn't she think?
Brave,
he rasped. When he lifted the skirt of her gown, sodden with her blood, she couldn't fight him, had to believe he was only checking her injury anyway. It was deep, excruciating. He shuddered against her. At the sight of it? She could only imagine what it must look like. She thought he was drawing off his shirt. A rip sounded. After a second, she realized he was securing his balled-up shirt against her wound with a sleeve tied tightly around her waist. Smart. But was it too little too late? Without a hospital and a transfusion...
You think I'm about to eat it? Be honest.
He froze.
What?
The mist turned to pounding rain, soaking her.
Pretty sure I'm bleeding out.
Dying? Nay. Nay!
Without warning, he cupped the back of her head with one massive hand and her bottom with the other. She tried to muster the strength to resist, but then this man began to rock with her, as if it was the most natural thing in the world.
I've got you, he grated. You will not die.
She might be wary of him. Her body wasn't. It melted against his.
That's it, my lass.
He pulled her closer.
You're so warm.
Despite all her turmoil and all her fear, she knew she was about to black out in this stranger's embrace. When he said,
Rest, Chloe. Everything'll be all right.
She was too exhausted to doubt him. Blackness was clawing at her.
You'll keep me safe?
The last thing she heard before she passed out.
No one will ever hurt you again.
Ten. Will had tried, he'd truly tried, to hate her just for who she was. None doing. When his brother's SUV skidded to a stop just feet from him, Will was cradling the unconscious girl as if she were the most treasured thing in the universe. She'd been so brave, barely whimpering when he'd forced her arm back into its socket. She'd thanked him. And then she'd uttered the most chilling words he'd ever heard.
I think I'm bleeding out.
How bad is she?
Monroe asked as he drove them away, speeding toward the city.
Bloody bad!
Will had stopped the blood flow, but she was pale and cold. He reached for the heater control, blasting warm air over her damp skin.
I had to get past 12 centaurs and 10 kyrnos to seize her. They were not exactly gentle with her.
She'd been passed among the centaurs and then to the kyrnos like a sodding rugby ball. Each time she'd changed hands, he'd experienced fear as never before. He inhaled, still struggling to rein in his beast. He'd always heard that nothing made it rise up like a mate in peril. If she woke and saw him like this, the mortal would probably stroke out before he could ever get her to a healer. Their immortal enemies cowered in the face of the beast. A young human might never recover from the sight. He'd leave the bag on for now.
And where the hell were you?
Will snapped at his brother. Right before Will had taken off after his mate, Monroe had told him to meet in the woods if they got separated.
Fighting my way out of a war to rescue you!
It was only then that Will noticed Monroe was covered in blood and gore as well.
It's pandemonium back there. You were the spark on the powder keg. When the Veritas realized you were stealing the girl, they rose up and battled the Praevus back. Kind of like a real alliance. And who knew we had it in us? By the by, remind me never to tangle with Malcolm Slain.
He whistled low. Chloe began shivering even harder.
We need to get to a witch healer. Drive to Anduin.
Will couldn't believe that he was demanding his brother take them to Louisiana's infamous coven, the bloody H.O.W.
We just cost them a serious loss of face. They'll hex us on sight.
They both shuddered.
Besides, others will be waiting for us there. Brother, you can this girl's the most valuable asset in the lore right now. They're not going to just forget about her.
Because she was Webb's daughter. The beast inside him didn't seem to give a fuck about that. Will's newly recovered instinct didn't. Monroe asked,
What about a mortal hospital? They'll be expecting us to go there. Besides, I do not trust mortal quacks. Sawbones, all of them. They've come a long way in the last century, Will. She might be past their reach. As much as I hate to say this, she needs mystical means—